Hello, thank you for listening today and downloading the Grace Tabernacle podcast. We invite you to journey with us as we transform our hearts and focus our eyes to worship. Our mission statement is presenting Jesus, the revelation of grace and truth that transforms lives. It is our hope and prayer that this message will be helpful for achieving the goal of growing closer with Christ. Now let's join in fellowship with a message.
Say this out loud with me. God is our refuge and a very present help in trouble. Therefore, now, this time, everywhere you see bold, I want you to say it louder, okay? Try it again. God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. Therefore, will not we fear. If we can get this established in our lives, this piece of truth, it is so powerful. You will never fear anything again. That's true. Therefore, will not we fear. That's King James. I know you people would say, we will not fear. And you can say that, that's fine. But I think there's strength in it when we say in a predetermined manner, will not we fear. And it's not our determination. It's what God has determined is already true in His Word. If verse 1 is true. If God is our refuge, if God is our strength, therefore will not we fear. Should have been here Wednesday night if you could possibly made it, because I talked more about the spirit of fear and how that's one of the things that the enemy attacks us with. And if you couldn't be here, then you can go on podcast and get that. Fear can be, not always, can be a demon spirit attacking you. It's invisible. 2 Timothy 1:7. God's not given us a spirit of fear, but power, love, and a sound mind. So there is a spirit of fear. And the human spirit can be fearful and take on fear. But the one who's born of God has God's spirit merged with His spirit, so he's a new spirit. That spirit has no fear. If you're born of God, in your spirit, remember you're a spirit, you have a soul, you live in a body. In your spirit, man, because you're born of God, there's no fear. So when fear comes to your life, it has to come from the outside, not the inside. And it's an attack. If you could see a demon spirit of fear, this is what it would look like. Like a boa constrictor or a python. That it, once it captures its prey, it coils around them. Contrary to popular opinion, the boa constrictor or the python does not kill its prey by crushing them and all their bones. It actually kills its prey by suffocation. The animal is caught. The python or the boa wraps around it, coils around it, and that animal is struggling to breathe. And every time that animal exhales, that boa tightens down and doesn't let up. That animal's got to breathe. So and every time he exhales, the boa tightens down more. Until eventually, There's no way to inhale. And he suffocates. That's what a spirit of fear does. Suffocates the air, the pneuma that is in you. And air, Jesus spoke about the spirit being air, pneuma. A pneumatic tool is one that is an air tool. The spirit is sometimes called pneuma or air. Pneuma in Greek for spirit, air. So fear is like this. Fear is pressure from the outside, squeezing you, trying to keep you from getting any more air. But if, and Satan at one time will attack every person with the spirit of fear. He may even have his coils wrapped around you right now about something. You may be feeling his pressure right now. But if you know the truth, if you not just know it, if you own the truth, it's yours when you own it. You experience it and you can speak it confidently. Then you will say, God is, next slide, God is our refuge and a very present help in, therefore, will not we fear. See, if you own that truth, not just know it, if you own that, it's intimately yours, then when Satan comes and he tries to wrap his coils around you from the outside, he will not be able to squeeze all the life out of you. It won't work. And it works on everybody else, and he'll wonder, why isn't it working here? Because 1 John 4:4, say it with me. You're born of God. Your spirit man has no fear. And if you know this truth, God is my refuge and my strength, then God is greater in me than the one outside me trying to squeeze the life out of me. But you've got to know it. I mean, you've got to own it. Because Christians get hit with fear big time. Almighty God lives in those who are born from above. Those who have been born of God. If Almighty God is living inside you, you're a Christian, then why are so many Christians not living in the strength of the Lord? Why are so many Christians not overcoming habits and strongholds that are clearly from the enemy? That's a good question. One person said amen. Everybody else doesn't care. That's a good question. That's a good question. It's really a good question. And you need me to be encouraged to tell you why it's a good question. I'm glad you asked. I'll tell you. Christians are free from the penalty of sin, but not all Christians are free from the bondage of sin. The moment you receive Jesus as Lord and Savior, instantly, that moment, salvation, full, complete deliverance came into your spirit man. Boom! Right then. You were set free from the penalty of sin. You'll never go to hell. You'll never have to pay the wages of sin and death because Jesus paid all of it at the cross. You'll never have to pay that. That penalty is over forever. You'll never, ever, ever have to pay that penalty. You're set free. That free means free. But obviously, not all Christians are free from the bondage. that sin can bring. There's a difference between set free and made free. You're set free the moment of your salvation from the penalty. But Satan still comes and attacks and puts Christians in bondage. I got saved when I was 19 years old in the Marine Corps. Most of you heard that story many times. I'm not going to repeat that. And after I got saved, I was so excited about the truth and the knowledge that I had never been able to just put together. And it finally just, the light turned on, and I thought it was the greatest thing I ever heard in my life. I still think that. And yet I walked away. I walked around with such confidence. I had the Spirit of God in me. I said, I am never going to sin again. Why are you laughing? I'm serious. I ain't going to ever sin again. I ain't ever going. I'm done with sin. I'll never sin again. I meant it. And 2 weeks was glorious. 2 weeks was, I didn't sin as far as the Lord didn't tell me and didn't show. I didn't sin. 2 weeks, I was walking around, no sin. It was glorious. And suddenly, everybody say suddenly, I found myself back into sin that I swore I'd never do again. And the devil came along and tried to whisper to me that I wasn't saved. And if it were not for the Lord himself living on the inside of me, the devil would have been able to suffocate the life out of me. That still small voice of God would say to me when the devil would come and say, you're not saved, Christian couldn't do that. You said, look at that. It's just a bunch of religious. That's just a bunch of emotion. Yeah, you did. Nothing happened to you. Yeah, you ain't saved. And the still small voice of God, just barely hear it on the inside. You had to be still to hear it, would say, that's not true. And if it wasn't for hearing that, I'd have been suffocated. Now, I didn't understand it because it sure seemed like it was true. And not just one sin, then I'd start slipping back into the same old things, a bunch of things that I thought I'd never do again. And over a period of time, God had to teach me and reveal to some things to me, especially when I was able to be honest with a dear brother and say, why do I still do this if I'm saved from it? And he had to teach me about, you know, you didn't get saved based on your performance. You got saved based on Jesus, based on what he did, not on what you do. See, I wasn't strong in the Lord yet. I wasn't strong in the Word yet. God was my strength, and thank God he was living on the inside of me, and I had just enough strength from the Lord for to hear the voice of God say, when the devil talked to me, he'd say, that's not true. So thank God for that. But I wasn't strong in the Word, and I wasn't renewed in my mind well enough yet to be able to deal with the devil's torment when he would come and tell me that I wasn't saved. Jesus said, you shall know the truth, and the truth shall what? Know it here is a word intimacy for which between a husband and a wife. Know it, in other words, you own it. You don't know it just from a book. You know it from experience. Gnosko, you know it intimately. You've experienced it. You know the truth. And once you know the truth, that truth makes you free when you apply it. Coming to church is good, but it won't make you free. Reading the Bible is good, but it won't make you free. Praying is good, but it won't make you free. Every time you sit under an anointed teaching or preaching of the Word, whether it's on television, church here, or some other place, every time you should get one piece of truth from God that you know, Spirit of God speaking to you, you need this. You get that one piece of truth, you know God is showing you. That's why you should take notes. You should come to church with a little 50-cent journal notepad or something, because you're expecting to get something. And so you bring a notepad with you or something to write down some notes, or use your phone or something. And because when that piece of truth comes and you know it, you can't trust your memory to remember it, because Satan comes to steal that word. So you want to write it down. You want to keep a journal. You want to just of notes just for you, of truth that God's showing you, truth that God's giving you. Now you take notes, and at the end of our services, like ours, we have altar calls here, and not every church does that, but here we do. You take notes, and at the end of the service, you should take that one piece of truth, maybe two, three pieces of truth that you know God's speaking to you about, and you should just come up here, and you don't have to, they're altar workers, you don't have to go to any one of them unless you want prayer, but you should just come up here before you leave, and just be still and talk to God about what you just heard. Thank you for that piece of truth today, God. Now, I ask you to show me how to apply it this week. Show me how this works. Show me the mechanics of it, God. I thank you. I received a piece of truth today that can set me free in some area that maybe I'm not free yet. I thank you for that, God, and I intend to use it, and I ask you to help me, Holy Spirit, to be committed to meditate on this word throughout this whole week. I'll come back to it in my journal. I'll talk to you more about it. We'll pray about it, but I just want to come up here before I leave the building and just say thank you for giving me this piece of truth. Everybody ought to do that in some way or another. Yeah. Not for me to look good. I already look good. Never mind. So you should do that just for you. Just for you. See. And then you meditate on it. Listen what Proverbs 4 says. Proverbs 4, verse 20 says, "My son, pay attention to what I say. Incline your ear to my sayings. Don't let it slip out of your sight. Keep it in the midst of your heart, because it's life." And this life means the life of God. This word that I'm giving you has the life of God in it. This seed has the potential, has the DNA in it, has the faith in it, has everything you need in it to set you free. This word is the life of God in it. And everyone who finds it, it'll bring health, which is strength, even to your flesh. Even to your flesh. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So this word that God, he's saying, pay attention to this, son. Don't come into church because you stayed out Saturday night late partying or having fun or staying up watching some movie or whatever, and then you drag yourself in here Sunday morning and you're tired and you're thinking about, man, I'm going to take a nap today. Sunday begins on Saturday night. It does. If you read the scripture in Genesis, it's the evening and the morning were the first day. In other words, you start preparing for the Lord's experience on Sunday morning, Saturday night. Don't drag your tired body in here. You can't receive when you're tired. It's hard to pay attention when you're tired. People tell me sometimes, they say, I fell asleep in church. Now, sometimes there's a medical reason for that, and they can't help that. And I figure, well, if you, maybe go ahead, take, maybe you needed to rest. Somehow your spirit's going to pick up on the word of God anyway, even while you're sleeping. I don't think anybody bought that, but that's the truth. Your spirit man picks up on things. That your spirit man is always interested in the things of God. Your body may be tired, lay down, go to sleep, but your spirit man can pick up on the things of the spirit even while you're sleeping. That's another message. Now, what is happening here? Look at this scripture. As you meditate on this word, meditation is not sitting down with your legs folded. It's just going over and over and over the Word of God. Paying attention to what God has spoken to you. A scripture that the Holy Spirit's highlighted to you. Something that the preacher said, it leaped inside you when you heard it. And so you got this word, and you know there's more in it for you that you got right now. And you got to meditate. You got to go back over it. You got to reread it. You got to keep it before you. Maybe you write it down in your journal. Or do like I do sometimes and write it on a little 3x5 card, stick it in your pocket, and wherever you go when you got a free moment, pull it out and go back over again, because you know God has spoken a word to you. And it's life to you. You got to get the life out of this, the nourishment, the nutrients out of this thing by going over it and over and over. And this is what God is saying. He's saying, look, when I speak a word to you, son, pay attention. Pay attention to this word. I've spoken a word to you. I put this word in this preacher's heart, and he's delivering it through his mouth, and you hear his voice, but it's my voice behind his voice going into your spirit. Pay attention to that, son. This is important. It's life to you. Grab that word. Don't lose it. Put it before your eyes. Keep it before your eyes. Put it in your ears. Hear yourself talking to it. Hide it in your heart. Meditate on it. Think on it. Put yourself to sleep at night going over and over and over. Now, I know I'm not ignorant, but I know most Christians don't do that. Most Christians come to church on Sunday and they think they're doing God a favor by doing that. They don't take notes. They don't go back over it. They hear it, they walk out of here and they say, man, that was a good sermon. And by nightfall, you say, well, what did he preach about? You say, I have no idea, but it was good. That's the typical life sadly, of the average Christian. Of all churches. When you get serious about your walk with God, you'll start carrying around somehow something that you can keep some notes with. Because sometimes God's talking to you while you're driving. Sometimes he's talking to you even while you're watching a television show. Sometimes he's talking to you by talking through somebody else. Sometimes when you're reading a book or whatever. And you want to have something you can write this thing down, or at least something where you can get back to and go back over it later. Are you with me? So what's happening? When you do this with the Word of God, here's what's happening. Now pay close attention. Strength is increasing in you. God is your strength, and God is strengthening you by giving you another word. He's giving you a word. He's giving you a word. Now he says, now pay attention to this, son. Keep it before your eyes. Hide it in your heart. You know, let your ears, put it in your ears. Keep this word. And so strength is increasing inside you. The strength of the Lord. And as that happens, over a period of time, what you're going to find is a lot of the bondages you've had all your life will just suddenly just, boom, one's gone. There's another one gone. You've increased here, and the bondage that was on the outside of your flesh, it's just breaking off. It's called maturity. It's called strengthening. When I was a child, I talked like a child, acted like a child, played like a child. But when I became a man, I put away childish things. When I was a child, I played with G.I. Joe dolls. You won't find one G.I. Joe doll. Well, you do. We'll find one in our house, but that's for my grandchildren. But I don't play with them anymore. I'll play with them when they come. And it is kind of fun. But anyway, what I'm trying to say is it's maturity. Things change because of the strength on the inside. The stronger you get on the inside from the word getting in you, and you read, not just reading it. Look, you can read the Bible and it not benefits you one bit. You can go to church and not benefit you one bit. You got to take time with God and go over with what the Spirit is showing you from the word, from the message, from the song service that we have, things like that. And as you meditate on it, you get stronger. What is this strength? Where does this strength come from? We've already said it twice. God is our refuge, and it's coming from God. The strength is coming from God on the inside of you. Now, the question I have to ask you, you need to be very honest with. This relationship you say you have with God, is it strong or is it weak? Don't answer out loud. Just be honest. This relationship, you say you have a relationship with God, is it strong or is it weak? Be honest. All right. If it's weak, or if, you know, you would say, you know, I don't even know that I have a born from above relationship with God like you're talking. I know God, and I talk to God, I pray to God, I even go to church, and every once in a while I read the Bible, but I don't even know if I've ever been born of God's Spirit. I don't know if that's ever happened to me. Just be honest. And if that's you, and if I'm talking to somebody, and I believe that I am, because the Lord put this on my heart, then He wants you just to settle that issue once and for all. Just settle it. How do I do that? I'm so glad you asked. That's why I'm here. How should I hear without a preacher? I'm the preacher. You're here. So if you'll hear, you'll hear what God wants you to do. The Bible says that you have to be born of God. He wants to live inside your physical body. He's more willing to save you than you are to be saved. Bible says very simply, Romans 10:9-10, if you believe in your heart that God raised Jesus from the dead, that's your part. Do you believe that God raised Jesus from the dead? In other words, Jesus is alive right now. Do you believe that? That's a yes or no answer. I'm asking somebody out here who's been struggling with that. You say yes, good. Then God says, okay, now here's what I want from you. I want you who say you believe that Jesus is alive right now, I want you to confess. The word confess means to agree with. God said, I want you to agree with me that Jesus can now and forever will be your Lord. That means the King. That means the top, the final authority of your life. He is welcome to come into your life and be your Lord. And if you believe that, on top of all that, all your sins will be forever forgiven, gone. What a deal. Where do I sign up? Right here. All right, here's your part. Do you believe Jesus is alive? Yes or no? Yes? Okay, good. Now, you got to do this part with your mouth. Everybody point to your mouth. This is my mouth. Say it with me.
This is my mouth.
This is my brain.
This is my brain.
My brain is not my mouth.
My brain is not my mouth.
But my mouth is connected to my brain. Not everybody's. For you, yeah, it is, for this exercise. And here's what God expects you to do. You agree? You believe that? Now, you confess with your mouth out loud, Jesus, you're my Lord. Jesus, you're my Lord. Come on in. Take your place in me. Show me how to live. I receive you. Well, I don't feel anything, preacher. It has nothing to do with it. You did what God said to do. Now God says you can have what He promised. What is that? Jesus says you're Lord. Living on the inside of you, your Savior. Now, may I ask you a very private and personal question? Is there anybody here? And I'm not going to embarrass you. I just want you to be so bold. And faith has to have action with it, corresponding action. If you just prayed that prayer and made double sure, or maybe for the first time, you just said out loud to the Lord and you believed in your heart and you believe God heard you, He answered that prayer, you're saved right now, you just did that, would you just, and I'm not going to ask you to come forward, just raise your hand, Just say, yep, I did that. I did that with you, preacher. Because God led me to do this for somebody here today. But he'll never force anybody. I don't see any hands unless I'm missing somebody. Is somebody pointing to somebody? If you just raise your hand, I'm not going to embarrass you. I just want to see. Did I do the right thing or am I crazy? Well, a lot of people already judge that one anyway, so it doesn't matter. Okay, I see. Okay, thank you. Somebody's pointing something. Oh, good. Well, good. Praise God. You got that settled. Now you're born of God. I'd like you to say with all the rest of us, I'm born of God. I've been born of God. Listen, when I got saved, I didn't see any angels. I didn't have any goosebumps. I wasn't even in a church building. I was at a picnic table. And I prayed a prayer that I had prayed before, but this time I prayed it with faith and understanding, and I knew what I was doing. And I didn't notice any significant change until probably within the next 24 hours. I noticed my desires began to change. Well, praise God. Hallelujah. Salvation is so simple. Like I said, God wants to save you more than you want to be saved. Now, all right, now what happens? Now you got God living inside you. And he's your strength. Look at this in 1 John 2:27. Whoa, is this amazing. His anointing teaches you all you need to know about yourself and him. For it will lead you into truth. So just as his anointing has taught you, live deeply in what you taught. It means take what you're taught here and live deeply in it. Think about it, meditate it, go back over it, apply it to your life. Are you with me? His anointing is his Holy Spirit that lives in you. What does his anointing look like? I'm so glad you asked for Luke chapter 4. When Jesus began his ministry, he said this, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me because he hath anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He sent me to heal the brokenhearted. He sent me to preach deliverance to the captives, recovery of sight to the blind, to set at liberty those who are oppressed, and to preach the acceptable year of the Lord." And by the way, this is the beginning. I think today is Jewish New Year. Happy New Year. The acceptable year of the Lord. Hallelujah. Now, because I am anointed as a born of God person, I say the Spirit of the Lord is upon me. And one of the evidences of that, he's anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. I was poor. Till somebody preached the gospel to me. Then I became rich. He sent me to heal the brokenhearted. I was brokenhearted, so I know what that feels like. Takes one to know one. But I've been healed of broken heart. He sent me to preach deliverance to captives. I was captive. But now I can preach deliverance to captives. He sent me to recover the sight of the blind. I was blind, but now I see. And to set at liberty those who are oppressed. I've been oppressed. And to preach the acceptable year of the Lord. To tell people, today's the day of salvation. Hallelujah. Right now. Right now is your jubilee. I was up here this morning in the pre-service prayer time. And I wrote down something I felt like the Lord was telling me. And, here it is. I said, I am here today. I'm here today because he has anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. And I went through all the rest of what I just read to you. I serve at his pleasure. I serve at the pleasure of the king. I show up when I don't feel like it. I pay attention to what he says to me, even when I'd rather not pay attention. I receive correction from him when he says, you need to straighten this part up. Are you with me? I serve at his pleasure. So do you. If you let him. Many of you know the story. I won't go into detail. I never planned on being a preacher. My wife didn't marry a preacher. In fact, if I was a preacher, she probably wouldn't have married me. She probably said, "No, I don't think I'm going that route." But she married me because she loved me, and then the Lord called us both into ministry. It wasn't anything we were looking for. Nothing we were praying, "Oh, God, please call us." And if you're praying that, you better back up a few steps and find out more about it first. But anyway, now, here's what happens. Here's what's happening in this church. Here's what's happening right now in our lives. Churches corporately can grow stronger in the Lord, in the anointing. In other words, have you ever been in some churches that were so strong in the presence of the Lord, as soon as you walked on the property, you felt like, "Whoa, something is going on here"? Well, I'm praying that happens here. We've been praying, and I believe it does. But we have people tell us, as soon as we came on the property, we felt the presence of the Lord. We came in the building, it was like, "Whoa." And I remember one time a visitor came in, and she sat right here on the front row. And she was so sensitive to the Lord, man, when she, I don't know, at the beginning of the service or something, during one of the songs, man, she, boom, fell out. "What happened to you?" "But the presence of the Lord was so strong." Presence of the Lord can be so strong corporately on a church that people will get saved during announcements. Had a drunk man one time come to church. He sat back on the back row. He's drunk. Well, he did sober up real quick. I don't know what it was, me preaching or song service, I don't know, it didn't matter. But at the end of the service, Quentin brought me over to say, "You got to meet this guy," and brought me up to him, whatever. And this guy was saying, "I don't know what kind of church this is, but this is a strange church." His eyes about that big. And he was telling us about angels he saw and things like that, you know, and I believe he did, because when he was talking, he was sober. But here's what happens. Churches can grow stronger in the anointing of the Lord. That the anointing, God has certain anointings, I believe he wants on certain churches to do certain, their specialty areas or whatever. And they're just gifted by God to be able to carry that grace. And Christians can grow stronger in the anointing too. We should be stronger now than we were this time last year in the Lord. Isaiah 10:27. "And it shall come to pass that the burden of the enemy shall be taken off your shoulder." Hallelujah. "And the enemy's yoke from your neck. And the enemy's yoke will be destroyed because of what?" Literally, this means, literal translation, "The yoke shall be destroyed because of the fatness or the increased growth of the anointing in you." I'm praying for a fat church. I see somebody right now saying, "You ain't got nothing to worry about, Pastor. I've been working on that for a long time. More fried chicken, Martha, today. You heard the preacher. We're enlarging our territory." Yeah, you ain't supposed to enlarge it that way. You're supposed to enlarge it in the Spirit. You're supposed to get stronger in the Spirit. "And because of the fatness or the increase," in other words, the stronger you get in the Lord, there'll be just some bondages that the enemy has put on you, even from generational curses or generational things, habits from your family, that as you grow stronger in the Lord on the inside of the, by the anointing of the Spirit growing in you, that those things will just fall off. You ain't near as excited as I thought you'd be about hearing this. It'll just fall off. Next picture. It just, the chains just break off. Not because of anything you're doing other than walking close with God, paying attention to His Word, applying His Word to your life, and doing the things the Lord's leading you to do, and preoccupied with that. You won't have time for this other stuff. It'll just break off. Once a born of God person has this supernatural strength inside them, it can increase and increase and increase. And actually, next picture is a picture of what you and I should look like. Jesus was the original Superman. Faster than a speeding bullet, more powerful than a locomotive, able to leap tall buildings at a single bound. Look up in the sky, it's a bird, it's a plane, it's... Come on. Yes, it's Superman, strange visitor from another planet who came to Earth with powers and abilities far beyond those of mortal men. Superman, who can change the course of mighty rivers, bend steel in bare hands, and who, disguised as Clark Kent, mild-mannered reporter for a great metropolitan newspaper, fights the never-ending battle for truth, justice, and the American way. Now, you could make some changes in that intro, and that would sound like Jesus. He didn't come from this planet. He's able to leap over tall buildings. Bible says he can run through a troop and leap over a wall. This could be the intro for Jesus. God's Superman, who came from another planet for truth and justice and the kingdom of God. And then Jesus said, I'm going away, but don't fear. Wait in Jerusalem till my power, my spirit has come upon you, my supernatural ability. Jesus left, and then he said, tag, you're it. You're it. Tag. Raise your hand up. Tag. You are it. I'm it. You're it. If only you'd believe it. If only. If only you wouldn't say, oh, that's just a bunch of hype. If only there were 12 of you that said, I believe it. I'll follow you. Let's go. The whole world would know your name in a year. There's only 12. 1 John 4:17. As he is. If only you'd believe that. If only I'd believe that. This is God's plan. It's the plan for your life. It's the plan for His church. God has said, I want you to be Superman, Superwoman. And we said, oh, no, not me. I don't have any talent. You have God's anointing inside you that teaches you all things. And you say, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me, who lives inside me. If you have God's anointing in you, and I have God's anointing in me, and this church corporately has God's anointing upon us, then why aren't we strong enough to break free from bad habits?
One word. The answer is kryptonite. No, I'm serious. I'm serious. It's kryptonite. The only thing that could weaken Superman, and then if he stayed in the presence of it long enough, it could actually kill him. There was only one thing. What was it? Can I use a cuss word here in church? You were way too fast on that one, brother. You should all, when I ask a trick question, you should always hesitate. Let other people fall in the ditch first, and then you can say, "See, I knew that one right." Well, I'm not going to say a cuss word, but what's the problem within the church? Why are we weak? Why are we not strong? Why are we dying with things we should not die with? One word. Kryptonite. Kryptonite. Kryptonite was the only thing that could weaken Superman. Paul exposed to the church the kryptonite that was weakening it, killing it. 1 Corinthians 11. He said, "Let a man examine himself, eat of the bread, drink of the cup. He who eats and drinks unworthily eats and drinks damnation to himself, not discerning the Lord's body. And for this reason," everybody say, "for this reason," "many are weak, many are unhealthy, and many die." Kryptonite. Don't get religious and just think, well, that's because they were irreverent about the Lord's Supper. Yes, that is true. That's certainly a part of it. And he did address that issue. They were going through the motions of church services without examining themselves and without removing the kryptonite. It wasn't just they weren't reverent like they should have been at the Lord's Supper table. The whole book of 1 Corinthians is a corrective letter. There was divisions among them. There were people following this leader, that leader over this, and there was immorality in the church. There was a whole bunch of other things. But the bottom line was, when they came to the Lord's Supper table, they were going through the motions. Oh, take that cracker, drink that juice, whatever. And they weren't reverencing the Lord's Supper properly by examining themselves and finding out where the kryptonite is. Something's killing our strength. Something is killing our people. Something is destroying the church. We're not as strong as we ought to be. We're not strong in prayer as we ought to be. We don't have the appetites of God that we should have. There's kryptonite in the church, and we've got to find out where it is and get it out, because if we don't, it'll kill us. Don't become religious. It's just at the Lord's Supper table. No. You're not examining yourself. You're coming to church and you're hearing messages. Oh, that was a good word, preacher. Thank you for that. That was a good word, preacher. Yeah. Thank you for that. But we don't go home. We don't massage it down into our hearts. We don't let that seed germinate. We don't let that seed take root. And it doesn't have any lasting effect on our life. And as a result, the kryptonite takes over. And we're weak. And we're laying hands on the sick and they're not getting better. And many are dying spiritually and physically, prematurely. It's because we do the same thing every week. We do the same thing. And we're not getting any stronger. That ought not be. Are you listening? You ought to be stronger today when you walk out than you came in. And if you're not, and if it's this church's fault, go find another church. If it's the preacher's fault, go find another preacher. But I have pretty good reason to believe it's not the church's fault and it's not the preacher's fault. It's your fault. you are not taking serious the living word of God when it's given to you. It flies in your ear and it's gone before you get to lunch. I'm not beating the sheep. I'm correcting the sheep. God has sent his life-giving word into you to make a change for the better. Somehow we're not discerning the Lord's body. We're going through the motions. I don't know how people do this, but it is a typical mindset of the average Christian. They have their spiritual life, and then they have their secular life. They have their spiritual friends, and they have their secular friends. And you should have secular friends, but you should be influencing them, not in them influencing you. Your anointing is so strong from God. You are here to make a difference wherever you go, in any workplace, in any atmosphere. Everything should change because of your anointing. If it's strong and working properly, your presence will make a difference. People know it. Not everybody's going to like you. You're going to be persecuted like Jesus was persecuted. But here's the point. There is no such thing as the spiritual life and my Christian friends and my church life and then the secular life. I act this way when I come to church and I act this way with my secular friends. Last I checked, that's double-minded. You'll not receive anything from God. Now, I'm closing. In heaven, when you get to heaven, one of the surprises you're going to have, when you get to heaven, streets are gold or real. Heard about it all my life. It's real. It's not the fake stuff. You're going to walk around. You're going to see building after a building. It's a massive city. Oh my goodness, there are mansions, there are houses, there are rivers, there are streams, there's trees, there's animals, there's fruit. Even the grass has a melody coming from it. I don't understand all that, but everything has a sweet smell and a sweet, it's just the presence of God. And you're going to walk through the city. You go, wow, look at that building. Look at that house. Look at that mansion. Look at that person. Oh, there's David, King David. That's him? Let me go talk to him, man. And then there's Moses. Oh, my goodness, Moses, let me talk to you. Adam and Eve, what was wrong with you guys? No, you ain't going to do that. But one of the things going to surprise you as you're walking through the city. Wow. I'm really here. There's no church building. There's no temple. Where do we go to church? This is church. You'll see workshops, people making things, artist shops, artists doing things, music, I don't know, all kinds of things that you enjoyed. And there's all kinds of shops and buildings and homes and all kinds of things, but there's not one church building, not one temple. Because in heaven, it's all one. There's no separation with the sacred and the secular. Thy kingdom come. Thy will be done. On earth. As it is right now in heaven. No separation. It could be that this secular thing over here, and I don't know that it is. There may not be anything wrong with it. It could be that's your kryptonite. I don't know. You ought to ask God before you leave, what's my kryptonite? That'd be a good question. Just come up here and talk to God and be still and listen and ask and see if he'll tell you anything. What's making you sick? What's making you weak? Okay, I'm just going to say it anyway. You know what it is? Damn kryptonite. I said it. It's that damn kryptonite. It's that damn kryptonite. Preacher's cussing in church now. It's that damnable thing that's zapping you of the strength of the anointing God gave you to make a difference in this world. And in this church is not as strong as it ought to be by now. I'm not as strong as I ought to be by now. You're not as strong as you ought to be right now. Damn kryptonite. If it bothered you that I even said the word damn, that's probably a religious spirit in you anyway that needs to be dealt with. And anyway, I ain't saying it to be cute or funny. God's word reveals his will. And according to Psalm 46:1, there is no excuse for us lacking strength to do what God calls us to do. Psalm 46:1. Say it with me, last verse. God is our refuge and our strength. Now you can take those two words at the beginning, turn it around, and then ask yourself a question. Is God? Is he? God, are you my strength? If so, there'll be a difference. If this is true, you know that you're lacking in that particular area. Some kryptonite needs to be dealt with. I'm going to ask you to come up to this altar and talk to God about, find out what he wants you and he to do about it. The anointing you carry is supernatural. And it's made so we can go out into the whole world and conquer anything. Would you stand to your feet, please? Altar workers, you can come up and just be here with me. God is your strength. You don't need to be weak. Come on, one piece of truth that you heard today that you need to talk to God about. Just come on up here to the altar and just talk to God right now. Just, you don't need me to say nothing. If you're one of those who prayed to receive Jesus, about three or four, what I thought I saw, just come up here and tell me, because I'm not going to snag you and make you preach or say anything. I just want to know. Just come up here and tell me. I prayed that prayer with you to settle that issue in my life, that Jesus now my Lord. Thank you. That's all I want to hear. Come up here and tell me. Come on, folks, move. You heard some truth. You want to get stronger? Take the truth that you've heard. Talk to God about it. See if there's anything else he wants to say to you personally that he didn't want to say through my voice, but he just wants to talk to you about privately. Take advantage of this moment. God, what's my kryptonite? What's this kryptonite? And if you're done, you heard enough, you're tired of hearing me preach, God bless you. See you. Thank you for being here. But we got business to do with God up here. This is way too important just to go through the motions of church. We got to chew on this word. We got to get stronger. I want you to walk out of here stronger than when you came in. One piece of truth can do that. What's my kryptonite, God? Show me where it is. Show me what to do, God.